The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Dale. Wasn't that good? Amen. I appreciate young men that use their talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that so very, very much. And it's always a blessing to hear these young men and young ladies do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verses 8 and 9, if I may reread this for reiteration's sake, where the Bible says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry." The Bible says, "Ye are God's building." Understand, as we talk about this tonight, we're going to be studying that which is a foundation, because there's no foundation laid other than that which the Lord Jesus Christ lays. There's no foundation that you and I ought to build our lives on than that which is the foundation of Jesus Christ. When we were building our home about 6 years ago or so in Forney, I was, of course, away, and we had thought, really we did, we thought, as I was coming back from the Philippines, as preaching several conferences there, and we were getting ready to come here as pastorate and family, and I thought for sure at least they would have a part of the home built. I really did. I thought at least they'd have the shell done, but there was some inclement weather that set in at that time, and they were really not doing much. It was muddy outside, it was wet outside, and they weren't able to do much. Well, you know, one of the blessings that there was we got to see the structure of our home start from the very foundation up. And we were able to watch them as they, of course, was able to pour the concrete in and, of course, then put up the studs and so many other things as we watched that home be able to build up. Foundations are very, very important. We lived in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and on one side of the house, when I was an assistant pastor there, we were having trouble. Matter of fact, one morning we woke up, and I don't know if Brother Walters will remember this or not, but one morning we woke up and the side of our house was bulging outward, and that's not a good sign. And then we noticed that our floor in our bedroom was seeping. Matter of fact, it was seeping so much, you could lay in the bed and look underneath the house. That's how bad it was seeping. After a couple of days had gone by, we figured we better take down the wall and restructure some things, or the wall was going to fall down anyway. But what took place is there was some rottening out from underneath the bottom of the house, and it was on pallets, and so we were able to crawl up underneath the house and be able to jack it up and be able to put new pallets underneath the house and be able to secure the foundation. Foundations are very important. They tell me that in the state of Florida that you have to be very, very careful because of the sinking of that which is the soil or the dirt, if you will. The foundation begins to crack. Foundations are very, very important. So let me speak to you this evening on a plan for the future. A plan for the future. Notice in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in verse 11, the Bible says, "For no other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so he ought to be the one that is our foundation. You know, for your future is no better, by the way, than your foundation. And your foundation needs to rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is no foundation laid other than that which is the foundation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if he is our foundation, then we can build upon that. Our foundation ought to be Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. Our foundation needs to be eternal. Our foundation needs to be everlasting. Our foundation is not found in the works of man or a byproduct by man, but is only found in the righteousness of Christ. Our foundation is found by grace through faith. Our foundation is found in the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Our foundation is not founded upon a building. It's not founded upon a structure. It's not founded, if you would please, upon some other type of stability, because without Jesus Christ being the foundation, a building will fall. I'm talking about the structure that you have for your life. it'll collapse. It'll fall. Our foundation needs to be in Christ. Everything that we build should be upon the truth that Jesus Christ is our foundation. That means the way that we structure our life. That means what we rely on in our life. That means when we get into squeezes, if you will, please, that we rely totally upon Jesus Christ. Any success, all praise, and all honor, and all glory go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because our life would be nothing apart from that which is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So because of that tonight, I can stand up and I can say my foundation is solid. I can say because of my foundation, I can rest assured that I can build the right type of structure. Why? Because it's not built on man's philosophy. It's not built on worldly thinking. It's not built on a friend's opinion. It's not built on my own feelings. It's not built on popularity. It's not built on a devil's lie. But my foundation is sure because my foundation, founded upon the principles of God's word, will never fail me, will never flutter, and will never fail. Because my foundation is found in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means my foundation is perfect. That means my foundation is preserved. That means my foundation is everlasting. That means my foundation is eternal. That means my foundation is inspired. That means my foundation is infallible. That means my foundation is unmovable. That means my foundation is unshakable. That means my foundation is unchangeable. Why? Because He is the Lord thy God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because He never changes. If my foundation is sure, then I ought never to change either. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. But He says, my words shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So we have that which is the foundation, that is Jesus Christ. And we build our lives upon Jesus Christ. Our bottom line tonight ought to be, what can I do to please Jesus Christ? What is it that God expects of me? I don't believe that God calls us to church to sit. As the old country preacher said, God calls us to church to get up and get. God calls us to do something for Him. Now, by the way, you may not have the accolades of praise. Somebody might not come up and pat you on the back. Somebody might not recognize your good behavior, your good deeds, or are those things that are the good things that you do. But can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He keeps very accurate records tonight, and He knows everything that you've done for Him, and He knows every hour that you've sacrificed, and He knows everything that you have done to be able to promote the gospel of Christ. And can I tell you tonight that your future is no better than your foundation? But tonight, because Jesus Christ is our foundation, can I tell you, dear beloved friend, we have a very bright future. Statement number one, your future is no better than your foundation. Statement number two, your future is no better than your materials. You know, you can have a foundation. And by the way, that foundation, as I've tried to help us to see tonight, is Jesus Christ. But now, wait a minute, what you put on that foundation, how you be able to structure that foundation, the things that you put in. You know, you can buy, if you're building a house, pretty cheap wood. But eventually, by and by, it will show up. You can buy cheap materials if you want to, but eventually, by and by, it will show up. You know, I find this to be very, very true, that eventually the Christian shines through. It might be bright or it might be dull, but it's certainly a representation of who a person really is. It is very important tonight that we understand that our work will declare itself and it will be made manifest. And so by doing, the reality of who that person really is ultimately revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, and if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. The Bible says every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. For but himself, listen to it now, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, as we talked about this just, I believe, last Sunday night, that there is going to be that which is the trying of a man's labor. I don't believe that you'll be judged for sin at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe you'll be judged for sin right here and now. But can I tell you, dear friend, I believe that your works, your deeds, your labors for the Lord will be that which will be judged there at the judgment seat of Christ. So it has to be something that I look at. I would say tonight that Bible reading is gold, silver, and precious stone. I would say tonight that your prayer life represents gold, silver, and precious stone. I believe tonight your personal soul winning or trying to pass out gospel tracts and at least trying to do something to help promote the gospel so that people can come to know Christ as Savior would represent that tonight of gold, silver, and precious stone. I believe your obedience to your parents is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe that your respect for authority is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe your faithfulness to church is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you listen to right, godly, uplifting music, it's gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have a good attitude, it's gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you practice modest apparel, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have right friends, it's gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you keep yourself pure, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you exhibit self-behavior or self-control, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have high morals, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have good character, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have a clean thinking, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe that when you have godly standards, it's gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe when you have Bible-based convictions, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. I believe that when you're trying to keep your marriage from going on the rocks, but is built upon the solid rock, it is gold, silver, or precious stone. But may I say tonight, there is wood, hay, and stubble. I believe tonight that when a young person disobeys authority or disrespects authority, it's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe when you're disobedient to your parents tonight, it's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe if you're listening to rock music or rap music or CCM or R&B music, I believe this. I believe that that is wood, hay, and stubble. I believe, by the way, if you're listening to country music, which is nothing but slow down rock music, I believe that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you ladies that's dressing in modest and sensual tonight, can I tell you, so that you can draw the eyes of a man and draw the heart of a man away so that he would fall into that which is dire strait of lusting and falling into that which is even worse by committing some type of immoral sin, can I tell you tonight, that is wood, hay, or stubble. I believe tonight if you were to go home and turn on some type of video thing and watch some worldly, wicked, evil, perverted type of film, I believe tonight that all you're doing is just cashing in on wood, hay, and stubble. I believe if you run with the wrong crowd tonight, the critic, the backbiter, that which is the person, if you will, that's trying to destroy the work of God by causing division because of their long tongue, can I tell you tonight, I believe that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe if you're living for yourself tonight, that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe if you have wrong conversations tonight, that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you're skipping church because you're saying that you don't feel good, but yet you feel good enough to make it to work on Monday morning. Can I tell you, dear friend, you've got wrong priorities, and that is wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you have unholy thinking tonight, that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you spend your life texting and calling and Facebooking and tearing somebody else down so that you can lift yourself up tonight. I believe that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you spend your life running with the wrong type of companions, whereby it's going to destroy your living and your Christ-centered activity, that's wood, hay, or stubble. I believe tonight that we've got the right foundation, but I believe that you can take the wrong materials and put it on a right foundation and still have a house that's not as strong as what it ought to be. I believe that your future ought to be strong. By the way, we have no excuse tonight. We have have a Bible that's true. We have leaders that are solid. We have a direction that's right. You're not in a contemporary liberal Baptist church tonight. You're in an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church tonight. And can I tell you something for sure? We're not ashamed of it. But you can take your life and you can ruin your life. Even though that you have the right type of foundation, you can take and ruin your life tonight simply because of the fact what you're doing is simply taking in wood, hay, and stubble. And by the way, I think that every church in America ought to be strong. And I think that every church in America ought to preach from a King James Bible. And I think that every church in America ought to stand for the old time way. And I think that every church in America ought to rise up on their hind legs and sort of sitting down on their lazy bottom and get out and do something for God and go soul winning and care and do what we're supposed to do. You say, preacher, you think that every church in America ought to run buses? I'll tell you for sure, I think that every church in America ought to run buses. That's what I believe. I believe there ought to be soul-winning churches. I believe there ought to be gospel-going churches. I believe the standards ought to be high. I'm sick and tired of the liberals having the big churches, and all of a sudden they're flashing, saying it's okay. Can I tell you, we're in the world as God's children that have God's convictions to get back to the old-time way, and you stand up and you do something for God. Hey, I'm saying this. Forget the liberal crowd. Rise up, do something, stand up for God, go forward and show people that God can build a church. I'm saying this tonight, that your future is no better than your materials. What type of materials are you using to build upon the foundation? Who is Jesus Christ? Who gives you a solid foundation? What are you looking at tonight? What type of Hollywood are you bringing into your presence tonight? What type of culture are you living? You know, I tell you, I worry about young people that start dressing the way of the world. I'm going to tell you why, because it shows who they're following. You can always tell who somebody is following by the way that they're presenting themselves. You can tell who they're identifying with. By the way, I say if the preacher's wife is not dressing that way, you ought not either. She's the first lady for a reason. I'll sit there a while. Well, thank God for my wife. I'm glad she's a she. I wouldn't have it any other way. But can I tell you, she's just not a she. She's a precious lady that sets a good example. And I thank God that she sets an example for other ladies to follow. I don't deserve to have her. I thank God for her. She says often, I don't deserve to have you. And so we're walking around as two totally undeserved people. But we're enjoying our pity. Leave us alone. I'm saying this. I'm saying that your future you have to be careful about the materials that you put on that which is your foundation. You know, you can wind up washing out if you want to. You can wind up becoming wicked if you want to. But it just depends on what you're putting in your house. Right. Statement number next. Your labors are no better. Or excuse me, your future is no better than your labors. Your future, by the way, we had a big day today. Oh, thank God for it. Wonderful. Praise God. What a wonderful day it was. I mean, thank the Lord for it. All those people saved. All those people baptized. All those lives changed. I mean, wasn't that a blessing? Well, we had 55 people walk down and receive Christ this morning. Can I tell you, I thank God for that. I thank God for the 14 was back. I thank God for the over 1,100. That's great that was here. Hey, that is wonderful. But please understand, that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also understand this, that was laborers laboring together. I've often said this, we have no supermen in our church. We don't. We're a church family. We're a family. We love together. We cry together. We rejoice together. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because we serve together. Amen. And by the way, that's what a church family ought to be like.
You say, but preacher, I just joined, and I'm not sure about all this soul winning stuff, and I'm not sure about all this visitation stuff, and I'm not sure all about the Sunday school stuff. Well, you can edge your way in if you want to, but can I tell you, it is mighty fine on the other side where you get to know dedicated people that are truly dedicated. By the way, you say, how do I get to know them? Hey, if you invite them out to eat and you pay, they'll come. Yeah, I'm telling you, they'll come every single time. You invite them over and say, hey, look, I'm cooking tonight. And they say, really? Can I invite my mama too? Can I invite my mother-in-law too? Before you know it, you've got a bus and a half of people coming over, and they're all relatives that you never met before. I had one dear friend, he said this. He said, preacher, he said, I love it. I love living in Texas. He said, I do. He said, because in Texas, he said, everybody celebrates birthdays in a big way. I said, yeah, I've seen that. He says, I never go hungry on Saturday. I said, how's that? He said, well, you know, he said, I'm Hispanic. And he says, you know, the Spanish people, he said, the Mexican people, they celebrate big birthdays. And he said, I just kind of blend right in. He said, they don't know half the relatives anyway, so I go from one house to another. He said, I'm full by Saturday night. I said, you're kidding me, right? He said, do I look like I'm kidding? Your future is no better than your laborers. You know, somebody said the family that prays together stays together. I believe that's a good motto for the church. Amen. The church that prays together stays together. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 4, the Bible says, for every house is builded by some men, but he that built all things is God. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Every house is builded by some men. You mean it takes a team effort, men? Some man, it says. But you mean it takes some man to be involved there? I don't know if you've ever seen the Amish people do this before, but they will take and they have what they call a barn raising. Have you ever seen that? You've probably seen it televised somewhere or something, I don't know. But they'll take and they'll put together the side of a barn. And many times they'll push it up, and the structure is right in place. One of the neatest things you ever see in your life. But you know what? There's more than one. Families are coming together, and they're working. Nehemiah was trying to build a wall. And Nehemiah, in trying to build the wall, you know what he did? He divided the families, and he gave them responsibility to be able to build the wall. Now, can I tell you tonight, your future is no better than your laborers. I'd rather have somebody that was a godly parent than somebody that was coming from Hollywood. I'd rather have a teacher that was godly than somebody that was following a wrong culture. I'd rather have a youth pastor that believed in preaching the Bible than trying to bring that which is worldliness into the youth department. I'd rather have a preacher that would preach right than somebody that would get up and was so scared or afraid to be able to tell those that are his hearers the truth. I'm saying tonight that a teenager that has a godly mama, it would do you great benefit to listen to your mama. I'm saying a young person that has a godly daddy, it would do you great, great benefit to listen to your godly daddy. I'm saying that when you're in the academy and you have a school teacher that's trying to do things for your benefit and teach you the right way, it would pay you great benefit to sit up, pay attention, and stop being a smart aleck. I'm saying that for the Sunday school teacher that gets up and they sacrifice and they study their lesson, it would be really good if somebody prayed for them and somebody encouraged them and from time to time somebody slipped them a nice note to say thank you so much for preparing so long for being my Sunday school teacher. I thank God for those that speak the truth and that try to help people along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen to verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3. The Bible says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. The Bible says, ye are God's building. Now, wait a minute. And so God says we're laborers together. Laborers together. I stayed around And like many tried to help, that knew about there was a need. But afterwards, I got done preaching, and I went outside, and I watched those kids jump in those bounce houses. Then they got on the buses, and we let some of our church families that had little ones to continue bouncing for a while. And then finally, they came down. And as those that were riding on the buses going home, and the bus captains driving, and the bus drivers driving, and the bus captains captaining, and those that were bus workers were working, and you're trying to keep the kids inside of the bus, and you're trying to get them home safe, and everything is going pretty well as you rattle down the highway and pull up and help a child get off and take them to their door. And there was a lot of stuff going on. There was people up here cleaning up the field and picking up trash and pulling up stakes and taking down ropes, and we threw our jackets off and rolled up our sleeves and gave it everything we got. By the time we got done, we stank pretty good. Well, what that is that's laborers together. Those that got up here early, as Brother Joshua said, and I'm so thankful, got up here with him at 6:30 in the morning and started putting out stuff and making sure this was done. I saw the buses get set up and get ready to leave as I was here this morning, and I watched them as they got on the bus, and they were excited, and we put out 8 buses, I think it was. Wasn't that right, Josh? Where you at? 8 buses? I see you somewhere. 8 buses and 5 vans. And people volunteered to drive vans and to drive buses. And what we were going to do is try and bring as many people in as we possibly could that were saved, that we led to Christ on the streets over the past couple weeks, and also to bus in those that's never heard the gospel before. Now, can I tell you, the effort was worth it over one person. And I'd be rejoicing tonight if one person got saved. Oh, you know how I am. Boy, I'd get up there tonight, say, praise God, we had one that got saved this morning. And it was worth it all. I'd get up to, if we only had 900 in church this morning, I would have got up and I would have said, praise God, we had 900 in church this morning. And we did a great job. And I praise God that you gave yourself to be used of the Lord, to be able to see what God could do. You know, it's amazing. And it's fun, by the way. It is amazing. And it's fun, by the way, to go home tired because you did something for God. You just kind of feel good about it. Brother Calhoun was up here yesterday with Kevin. And they were working on those buses. They were jacking those things up. They were hitting tires. Kevin had that screw gun, and he was. And I thought, man, that's neat. I think I'd like to try that one day. But yeah, it's like a machine gun. Man, he had that thing on there. I thought, wow, look at that. You know, and I'm talking about sweat, and I'm talking about people went out yesterday and knocked doors, and I heard about some people staying out till 8 and 9 and 10 o'clock, and some perhaps even later than that. I just not heard about it yet. And some of our senior saints passing out upward to 1,000 tracks. Come on. What are they doing getting out of the rocking chair? Well, I'll tell you what they're doing getting out of the rocking chair. They love Jesus, that's why. Amen. Mrs. Davis even came up to me and she said, preacher, she said, this coming Tuesday, I'll be 92. She said, I'm excited about being 92. She said, you know why? I said, why? She said, because all these years, she said, there has never been a day that I wasn't in the hospital that I missed Sunday school. Never a day. And I said, that's a good testimony, Miss Davis. She said, it sure is. I never forget when they joined, they was a little bit younger than they are now, and I was standing at the bookstore, and they joined the church. And I said, now, Brother and Mrs. Davis, what brings you to our church? I'm just curious. You know, what brings you to our church? She said, so I'll tell you what brings us to your church, because you believe that old people can serve God too. Well, I believe that, amen? Amen. I believe you can serve God till your ticker stops ticking. Amen. Amen. Now, you might not be able to give as much, but I'll tell you, some of these senior saints, I don't know what Brother Craig's been feeding them, I have no idea. But some of these senior saints getting out and passing up or to 1,000 tracks out, I'm thinking, my, I want to get on their wagon. Amen. I want to find out what juice tree they're drinking from. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that we have to understand that we ought to plan for the future. Your future is no better than your foundation. Your future is no better than your materials. And your future is no better than your laborers. I remember our house was being finished up, Brother Crutcher, and there was Bob the Builder. You remember Bob? Yeah, Bob, and that's his real name, Bob the Builder. And I met with Bob in the living room, and he was finishing up our house, and I met with Bob, and I said, Bob, I'm so glad you worked on the house, and you did an outstanding job. But Bob, I got a question for you. We were standing in in the kitchen there, and we not yet even moved in the house. And I said, Bob, got a question for you. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And he said, well, I think so. I said, well, the Bible says you can know so. Let me show you what the Bible says. And Bob the Builder that built all those homes out there was led to the Lord in my kitchen. Amen. Amen. And I didn't even give him a piece of toast. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we come together, and as we come together, we labor together. See, that's why it bothers me and I get a heavy heart when all of a sudden I see two friends that sit close together, but they're not serving Jesus Christ and they're going down the tubes together. Can I tell you that's not why you were created? I've seen people, and we've got people in this room tonight. They're dear people. They're good people, but they used to be soul winning, but they're not going soul winning no more. You say, what's that make them? Backslidden. But I'm rooting for them. Amen. I'm pulling for them. Yes. I mean, they've not yet decided. I was telling one of the staff guys yesterday, I said, we have to decide what the bottom line is. Yes, the bottom line is we're going to go soul winning. Amen. The bottom line is we are going to run buses. Amen. The bottom line is we are going to pass out tracts. Yes, bottom line is we're going to have old-fashioned preaching. Bottom line is, I believe that we ought to stand up and do what is right, because right is still right, and it doesn't matter which way the world turns. Yes, I'm saying tonight that we understand that our future, we can put in the right type of people inside of our future. You know, when you hire a builder to be able to build your house, you expect him to do better than a doghouse. You don't want an electrician to come into your house and not know what wires to connect. You don't want a plumber to come into your house and he can't figure out what pipe to run. You don't want a framer to come in that doesn't know how to hold a hammer. Come on. You don't want a roofer to come that has never touched a shingle. You want somebody, come on. If I go to a dentist and I say, how long have you been practicing? And he says, oh, today's my first day. I'm moving. I'm not sitting in that chair. I'm going to say, well, God bless you. I hope you have a good day. I've got another appointment I need to keep, and I just remembered it's right now. You say, what's that appointment, preacher? And my appointment is to get out of that chair. That's my appointment. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, we understand this. We understand that God has given different people with different talents and different abilities. And let me help you out as a church family tonight. Don't ever become envious of somebody else's abilities or talents. We're different. You're not Superman. You're not Superwoman. And nobody expects you to be. But we do expect you to do what God has called you to do. We do expect you to rise up and serve God. I'm saying about laborers. You know, we have people in this room that can draw. I'm not talking about stick men. I'm talking about they can draw. You know, we got people in here, I'm telling you, if you're in a conversation with them, they're going to say something funny somewhere in the middle of that conversation, and you're going to break out in a hearty laugh. We got other people as dry as last year's wheat. We got all sorts of people in here. Man, we got people, I'm telling you. I was out visiting yesterday, and I was at a family's house, and all of a sudden, Brother and Mrs. Whitfield drove up. Now, I don't know if you've gotten to know the Whitfields yet. They're good people. That's what their son says. But really, they're good people. Now watch this. Did you know what? He and his precious wife came over, and I was making that one visit, and they stood there. And can I tell you, when they walked up, these people lit up. Matter of fact, one of the girls said, "Wow, it's not one preacher after us, it's two." I said, "Two's better than one." And can I tell you, what is that? That's called laboring together. That's what that's called. That is laboring together. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that as we grow as a church, one of the things that we ought to understand is that we are supposed to be laborers together. As I was saying, I was talking, and I said, you know, bottom line is this. Bottom. I wonder, what is your bottom line? Right. I decided back when I was an 18-year-old boy, and I got saved, my bottom line is going to be serving Jesus Christ. That's my bottom line. Now, because that's my bottom line, does discouragement come, preacher? Yeah, but years ago, I decided my bottom line. So it don't matter what discouragement comes. Amen. I'm not going to quit because I've got a bottom line, and my bottom line is I am going to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, is it hard sometimes? It's always hard sometimes. But sometimes only comes sometimes. Come on. You know, if you drop out when you have a sometime moment, you'll never have another time. Somebody says, I'm not going to go back to Walmart because they offended me. That was only one Walmart. I talked to a person the other day and said, I've been offended in several churches. And I said, but not all churches are that way. Example, if you get offended in three Walmarts, can I tell you there's more three Walmarts in the United States of America? If you get offended in three churches, there's more than three churches in the United States of America. Hello? I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand that the Bible talks about here how we are supposed to be those that have a great future, and it's based on that which is where your foundation is, the materials that you use, and the labors that are involved. I loved working, and I'll close here, but I love working with my older brother, Dave. I'm going to tell you why. Because my older brother Dave was a workhorse. I mean, he was just get down, get with it, and let's get it over with. He was just a dye-in-the-wool workhorse. And I loved it. Because when Daddy said, you two boys get out there, I loved it when he said, you two boys. When he said, you two boys get out there and you split and cord that wood, you hear me? We'd say, yes, sir. David straight away is going to get out there. He's going to get himself a sledgehammer. He's going to get himself some splitters. Or he's going to get himself a good strong axe and sharpen it down real well. And he's going to get out there, and it doesn't matter how much I produce, he's going to produce, and he's going to keep producing until the product gets done. Hello. But some of us, here's what we do. We only rise up and serve as much as the person next to us. And you're doing an injustice to yourself. God created you different. If I read my Bible, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being kind of candid and straightforward. But you know, if I read my Bible, like some of you read your Bible, I'd never get anything out of the Bible. But if you went soul winning like somebody else went soul winning, nobody ever gets saved. I guess that was too hard hit, and I'm so sorry. But I'm saying tonight, here's what I'm saying. Labor for him. There's something you can do. Here's a fallacy. I believe in fundamental independent Baptist churches that are of our stripe, and we do have a stripe. And that is this. Some people feel like, well, if I'm not a soul winner, I don't fit. Stay with me now. Follow my thought, and I'll help you. But do you know there's many things a person can do in serving Christ? That's why I say don't compare. Amen. There's many things a person can do in serving Christ. There's many talents that a person has. God does expect us all to give the gospel, but some people give the gospel in the form of a tract. But can I tell you, I thank God for the people that give tracts. I thank God. I've walked into restaurants and I've seen people get a track out of the bathroom and they're standing out there waiting, if you will, please, for somebody else to come out where they can leave, and they get that track out of the bathroom and they're opening up that track or reading it on the back of the track. And you know, you don't know what's going to happen in their life. You have no idea what's going to happen in their life. So we all serve God at different levels. Some people say, well, I haven't read my Bible through all year, and so I'm a failure. No, if you read your Bible through, that's great. But you know, some people, it's a great success if they can read just one chapter through. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse if you can do more. That doesn't give you an excuse. I thank God, to whom much is given, is this not Bible? Much is required. I think God requires more out of some than he does out of others because he's not given the ability to be able to do. Come on. I had one of our young people that's in the Gems and Jewels come up just recently and quoted me a verse. Can I tell you, I made a big deal of that. I said, that is great. I said, where'd you learn that? He said, Mom was teaching me the verses of the Bible. And he started quoting me another verse. And you said, well, I tell you what, preacher, did he make it all the way through? I don't care if he made it all the way through the second one or not. I was just so excited about the first one, I had to get a grip. What am I saying? I'm saying, that's great. But be a laborer. Decide that serving Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. Don't live your life on wood, hay, and stubble. Give Jesus Christ what he deserves. Become a laborer. Become that person that puts in the right materials and always build upon that foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.